Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, Savar. I hope we're all Savar beginning tonight. Oh, my goodness. Darlings, yes, I haven't been on the air in 1,000 years. You've all forgotten who I am. You've forgotten my face. You've lost your 8x10 glossies of me, so you don't even know what I look like anymore. No, it really is me. It's the real me. It's Fran Allison from Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's me, Sybil Brunchen, your pal, over the airwaves. I'm back on the air tonight, and that chuckling in the background is my wonderful producer, my muse, and my on-air pal, and it's none other than our wonderful Gwendolyn Holden Berry, who also is the founder and head chemist at DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Yes, DaughtersOfIsis.com. During our podcast tonight, do go on your computers to their website. It's all one word, daughtersofisis.com, and check out their amazing products. They have over 500 different fabulous, mysterious, soul-inspiring, soul-expanding, psyche-delighting products. You can't believe what they've got. And Gwendolyn has been sweating over her bench, her chemistry bench, particularly heavily over these last 3.5 years to thwart the powers, the demon sperm, and alien DNA that has been living in the White House. And I must tell you that her laboratory is a combination of Chanel and Dr. Frankenstein's laboratory. It looks exactly like that, with electrodes and lightning striking glass Erlenmeyer flasks and bubbling beakers and all those things from the 1930s. But instead of making a man with stitches in his head and bolts in his neck, she's making wonderful, wonderful fragrances. And do check that out tonight. We are, first of all, we're broadcasting to you because of the COVID disaster and quarantining. We are not in the roof. We're not in the tower anymore of the Chrysler Building, in the revolving ballroom of the Café Berlin. No, we're not there. Midtown is completely shut down. The Chrysler Building is completely yellow ribboned off with police tape. So you're not allowed in there. And Chris Maloney and Olivia Benson are paroling the outside to make sure that no one breaks the law and order of that. But we are podcasting. I'm coming to you from my beautiful bay window, which you've all admired in my Facebook pages, my glorious floor-to-ceiling bay window. And Gwendolyn is coming, and here's where she gets the Purple Heart this broadcast, because she, Lucy, can you imagine, right where, now this name just totally annoys me, Esau, whatever, that nice man, Hurricane, has just peed all over the East Coast of Florida and is heading towards the Carolinas. So, first of all, South Carolina, you deserve a big kick in the ass anyway. God, what an obnoxious state. And then some of you are nice, but the rest of the state is a bunch of, well, whatever. And then North Carolina, the Tar Heel state, come on now. You gotta pull it together there. But Issa East is going to be brushing your East Coast and the Outer Banks. So we wish you all well there, and we hope that you batten down the hatches. Mummy did that whole 6-minute opening in one breath. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
Let me tell you what I just saw on Instagram. One of my favorites is Frances Fisher, and you know, the ex of Clint Eastwood, the redhead, who's such a great character actress. And
yes,
she did a selfie video in her kitchen, cooking the dog's food, hitting things with a fly swatter, and smoking like a bandit, telling her son, listen, Twitter's fine, but you got to call me. And we got to get this
so funny
mofo out of the White House. You know, I just it just little things like that during this time just pick you up and put you on a cloud for a minute or two. And that kind of laughter and healing is so basically needful right now. I can't tell you. We need to laugh more and more. And if you have to have a cocktail to do it, so be it.
Well, I hope that I contribute on some level to helping people laugh. And I do agree.
Oh, I know you do. I know you do.
I believe that laughter, I believe the release of all emotions, sadness, pent up anger, all of that, I believe that all of that coming out under reasonable circumstances. Obviously, we don't laugh at people who are in distress. We don't live in tears, and we don't rage. You know, wrath is one of the seven deadly sins. So we don't go through life with an axe and a chip on our shoulders. But we do have to express our emotions, and certainly joy and laughter are as good as you're going to get as far as getting rid of free radicals and being, you know, they're eliminating carcinogenic things from our bodies and our psyches. And you, my dear chemist, are eliminating bad things from our psyches with your wonderful fragrances. Very quickly, do you have a fragrance? Oh, first of all, let me just show how smart I am, my fine friend. I know for a fact that not only is it a full moon tonight, although many of us aren't getting to see it because of the storm and the clouds, but it is a full moon tonight, and it happens to be the sturgeon moon. That's sturgeon with a T, not a surgeon moon. For those of you that are trying to have a nip and a tuck, that is a different issue entirely. But for those of you that like caviar, it's the sturgeon moon. And I was reading about the sturgeon moon last night, and they said that it is in Aquarius and that it is going to be very profound for both Aquarians and Leos. And I happen to be an Aquarius, and I happen to be surrounded for some reason by Leos. My whole life I have had Leos everywhere, positively pawing me and crawling and scratching, mummy. I've been everywhere. So talk to us about the moon tonight and what it's going to do for Aquarians and Leos, if you can.
Well, we're all basically being asked to take a look at whatever is dark around us and break through it. And there's nothing like leonine energy to embrace whatever is fearful. And there's nothing like Aquarian energy to say, I can do this and bust it on through. So you have a dynamic duo right now in a full moon, which means it's a time for setting your intentions through the dog days of August. So right now, and the bent on the sturgeon, it's also a couple of with the native nations, a couple of other kinds of moons. But right now, remember, we're in dog days. We're coming to the last harvest. And so right now is that time when you tie off all the ends, you cross all the T's and dot the I's for the next season. So this applies right now more than ever because seasons for people have been lost. They go from paycheck to paycheck. And now we're going from season to season because we're all pretty much in a group think on this planet of what's next. So at this time, I think that what's happening is all those old bugaboos that have dogged you for the last few years, turn around, face them, and embrace them with the knowledge that you have everything you need in your back pocket to burst through that Aquarian energy. And of course, Leo says, I ain't putting up with this. I mean, a Leo. And by the way, me too with the Leos, but my moon's in Leo. So, but that leonine energy doesn't take shit. It moves forward with force. And with the Aquarian accent, the Aquarian brilliance, you're talking about transformational moments. And it's in the dog days. So things come up throughout. And know that if you set your intentions tonight under this fullest full moon that you're going to be able to meet them.
Wow. All right. Well, and do you have a fragrance that we should be considering right now?
Well, you know, I knew you were going to ask me, Mummy, and so I went into my cupboard, and I was moved by the spirit to put out a homeopathy, one of my gem and crystal flower essence. It's a homeopathy essence. This is something you can use for subtle transformations, like what we're going to go through in the next month. And it's something you can put a drop or two under your tongue, a drop in a bottle of water. This is This is a vibrational remedy that is cured in an organic brandy. And you can even take and put a half a drop or full into a bath, and it's very reviving. It's something you should always use flower essences in your bath. And the one I chose is kunzite because its essential quality is kindness. So when you work with this, you're working to express a gentler, more sensitive observation of your own and the human condition during this time, during this upheaval. So the kunzite is infused with what they call divine love. It's a beautiful pink gem. I don't know if you've ever seen one set, but it's more than night. It's beautiful. Uh-huh. It comes in yellow too, which is rarer. And there are some lighter blues, but I use the big pink crystal of it. That's what I tell you, cost a penny out in Tucson. But it's lovely stuff, connective to the element of water, which is the sustainer of life. And that's something we need right now. So I would recommend the kunzite. Yeah.
So they can buy that on the website, can't they?
Mm-hmm. Under my crystal and gemstone essences, it's there, and it's not a real expensive buy. It's like $16, and it should last you through the dog days, but through for quite a while. And knowing that this is something that connects with your highest self and helps you with your light visualizations, like white lighting yourself or sending healing light. It's a great remedy to have in your back pocket these days.
Well, first of all, I appreciate absolutely you're appealing to our higher selves and our spiritual selves and everything. I'm sorry to say that tonight I am completely mercenary and I am completely sprayed. I always use a fragrance from thedaughtersofisis.com before every show. So I always have a handkerchief or I've sprayed some on my collar or I've even taken a swig. And tonight, along with my piece of whiskey, as Gwendolyn, I have sprayed myself with the fragrance money, Gwendolyn's money fragrance, the one that has the dollar bill on it. The dollar sign
grounded.
On it.
Yeah, money.
the reason I've done that, Mummy tries not to be mercenary. I try really not to be concerned about physical and earthbound energies like money. I try to be higher than that. But right now, I'm going through a period where money is very important, and I'm going to reveal why. And I'm not going to go into detail, but I've been holding off to reveal to our listeners until the right time. Mummy is going to be moving. I am leaving New York City. And although I would like to have definitely more spiritual, and I'm going to, after the program tonight, Gwendolyn and I will discuss what essences I need to put under my tongue to keep my spiritual side wide open. Right now, I literally poured half of the bottle of her money fragrance all over myself to create enough money to move and to do all the things that one needs to leave New York City and to move to a new state. I'm going to break the news gradually on my pages, my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram pages, and on this show and on my websites. So I'm not going to say where yet, but I'm going to tell you two things. Yes, it's true. I'm giving up my beautiful apartment with the beautiful floor-to-ceiling bay window that you all have watched orchids grow in and cycads and You have seen snow swirl around and blizzards, and hurricanes or almost hurricanes come ashore, and you've seen sunny days and rainy days. You've seen winter days and hot summer days. You've seen it all. You've seen Mummy get up at 3 a.m. on a hot summer night and just sit in her window and look out and reflect on life. You've seen mobs of people outside, and you've seen the COVID quarantine catastrophe empty the streets. You've seen movies shot outside my windows, movie sets set up, Law and Order episodes set up. You've seen the world swirl by. You found out the Strausses, who founded the Levi Company, lived across the street from me and died on the Titanic. And that's where Little Strauss Park was dedicated. So it's right up the street from me. You've seen it all. You've seen a whole 6 years of Tourette's and adventures and all sorts of things. And that is coming to an end at the end of this month, August. And Mummy is moving to a new place. And no, it's not in New York City. And no, it is not New York State. I am changing states. And I will reveal that later, and I will tell you the circumstances as it unfolds. But for right now, I'm doing that. And you can imagine how much a move costs. And so I am packing up the storage spaces. I'm taking what I can, and I am going to be shipping those with myself and my household goods and my husband's household goods. And we are starting in a new place, a new adventure. And I'm so tempted to tell you more, but I've got to do it in drips and drabs, because Gwendolyn and I know that some of our older listeners and some of our more sensitive listeners, especially single gentlemen with delicate sensibilities who are prone to fainting and crying out. If I break too much news tonight, so too rapidly, our elderly or sensitive listeners may get away, and I can't afford to lose any listeners now. Right now, my Nielsen ratings are a little low, and I want to make sure that we keep all 36 of our listeners. So, I want to make sure that we keep all 36. If I break this, if I tell you the state I'm moving to, or any more, and someone faints or falls and breaks a hip, we can't afford to have 34 listeners. That's when the Here Be Monsters Network and the Blog Talk Radio people may cancel us. All right, so enough said about that. Gwendolyn, have you ever been in Facebook jail?
Yes. Oh, yes. Are you kidding?
Tell us about it.
During the last election, during the 16 election, I was so polite to these idiots. You know who I'm referring to.
Yes.
Still,
what did you say specifically on Facebook that got you in?
Oh, I called, and I've done it since and haven't gotten jailed for it. I called Trump an imbecile who would just broker us into, you know, bankruptcy and a few other select things, and one of his supporters complained on me. So they shut me down for 24 hours.
But you said specifically, Trump is an imbecile. Those words.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Early on, I did not do that. I've used his name only when I do the hashtag, so that my announcement goes to the Trump pages or whatever. But what I have done is I've called him, and many of you have used this expression and have congratulated on me. And now it has gone globally. I've gotten messages from Australia and from Germany and all over that people adore when I call him a huge jiggling bag of orange monkey pudding. So it's caught on. And then I refer to his family as a skank litter. I am a very insulting person without using four-letter words. I don't have to use four-letter words. I have an imagination, and my family acknowledged this when I first started to speak English at 2 years of age. People, my parents and grandparents and relatives were all stunned that I would take words like I would use expressions like call someone the fruit of a goat's behind, and they would say that's so much more insulting than saying that you're a blankety blankety blank. So I have always been able to use very colorful, descriptive, metaphoric language to insult people to their cores without being called on obscenity charges or whatever. Well, this past week, people have marveled that I have been saying shocking things daily on all my pages about the current situation, lurid and vivid insults about McConnell and Lindsey Graham and Cornyn and Pence, all of them. And I've incorporated hashtags to KKK and NRA and neo-Nazis. I've used it all. Oh, I've used visuals with Trump standing beside Adolf Hitler and Mussolini. I have been a seething Mount St. Helens of vitriol for the last 4 years. Well, lo and behold, Princess Mugabumba, or whatever her name is, that supposed doctor who started saying that COVID is caused by demon semen or demon seed or demon sperm, and that that gays are created by men turning themselves into women for an hour and then having sex with men and collecting their sperm and then turning themselves back into men and injecting it into other men is what causes gayness or AIDS or alien DNA, whatever her she is. First of all, this is where I stand, and I may get heat for this, but it's whatever, because I'm an equal opportunity bigot. Okay, that person, wherever she's from, okay, she should put a bone in her nose, put on a coconut brassiere and a grass skirt with no underpants on, and go back to D.C. and dance around with Donald Trump. It's like that level of ignorance and bigotry. Uh-oh. And she's what is she and who is she? And what I particularly love is that she was congratulated by Madonna on her, her 16th century Haitian or Ugandan or planet whatever ignorance. She is below contempt. It's like, and Madonna, as a billionaireess, to espouse this for whatever her drama du jour is. She has consistently, whenever her career stalls, she suddenly acquires a British accent, or she marries someone, or eats one of her children, or I don't know what she does. What happened?
Madge got banned from Twitter for it.
So this is what I got. This is what I got. So I went on a diatribe about whatever that so-called doctor is and where she got her degree and who she is and what on earth is she thinking and why would Donald Trump and the rest of his gang, his thug gang, stand there with her in their presence. And she is the red state's worst nightmare. He can't even be loyal to his three-tooth hillbilly, you know, Appalachia following. They must have – talk about strokes. His gangs of hillbillies must have had a stroke when they got that on their TV, you know, and saw that she was saying that. It's like, what on earth was he thinking? But this is the killer. Madonna said all that and espoused her and supported her and endorsed her. And I said on Facebook how astounding it was that she has finally confirmed, listen to this, that she is an undereducated, right? That she's everything that people have been claiming, a piece of undereducated white trash that people have always assumed that she was. So people back in the 80s, when I was doing nightclubs all over New York City. And first of all, before Madonna was famous, so I knew Madonna and saw her in the circuit before she was even discovered and famous. She was kicking around the club scenes, you know, in the East Village, the Pyramid Club and everything. People said she's an unwashed, you know, piece of white trash from Detroit, from the Motor City. And it's like, and poor Detroit. I mean, it's like, if it isn't slummy and forlorn enough and beat up enough, poor thing, here's Madonna traipsing around, you know, acting like a slum kid. And lo and behold, she has proven that she is like white trash, undereducated white trash. Well, term white trash is, and I hyphenated it, is what got me into Facebook for 24 hours. Now, I have used swear words on Facebook, especially on the banners. Those Facebook banners are the ones that are the multicolored things that you can select the Hallmark greeting card backgrounds for. So, and by the way, everyone, right, Facebook friends, I know Gwendolyn feels the same way. When we write those banners, okay, you're only allowed like 45 characters or whatever. You know, you're only allowed a certain number of letters, symbols, numbers, and spaces. So when I post one of those and you Facebook friends of mine or followers start lecturing me in the comments about, well, why didn't you list 12 other actors? Well, why didn't you do this? Well, why? It's like, okay, mummy gets cross and short-tempered with ignorance, whether it's from the right or the left. But learn how those banners work and learn that mummy can only post so many letters in her message. If I go beyond that, the colored banner disappears and it just becomes a normal line of type that I'm writing. So if I wanted to post one of those banners, I can only use one of those pictures, the cute little cartoony things, the dog on its back, rolling on its back, whatever, the beach balls, whatever. And then I can only put so many characters there. Okay. And I posted one of those and I posted it with white trash and that got me in trouble. Now, normally if I stoop to using a swear word, like a four letter word, like S-H-I-T, I don't write the word, I do SH asterisk T, and you know what I mean. And that keeps me safe so far from the Facebook thought police. We may be seeing an age with Zuckerberg and everything where computers will begin to winnow out messages that even like four letter words have, the swear symbols in it, like the hashtag or the asterisk. They may start to say, well, Bibble Brunson and her gang are writing swear words and insulting people by using, punctuation for the certain letters. So instead of F-U-C-K, you write F asterisk asterisk C-K, and then people know what that is. So maybe they're going to have their computers do that. Eventually, their computers may say, anytime that someone says huge jiggling bag of orange monkey pudding, you'll listen to that and you'll sentence them to 24 hours or 24 days in Facebook.
I use it quite a bit. I've used it quite a bit.
You use what?
Post. Jiggling bag of orange monkey pudding. As Sybil says.
If you drop the orange in there, though, too, it makes it clear because I've seen you and other people use it, and then I'll see your friends post things like, what does that mean? And I think if you put the word orange in there, orange monkey pudding, then they know immediately what you mean. It's sad because I think orange is a lovely color under the right circumstances, but I'm not sure that the color orange will recover over the next, probably it'll take 4 to 10 years for the color orange to at all.
They will call it. Mommy, I got to tell you, you got two callers piled up back here.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take them, and let's take them both if we can.
Well, okay. I'm opening my microphones to the caller from 620 area code and 513 area code. Callers.
Okay. Well, I'm not good at area codes, but who are my callers? Is Pamela there tonight? Hello? Callers?
Hello?
Yes.
Are we on?
Who's this?
Are we both on?
You're both on.
Oh.
Somebody has their computer on or something because it's echoing. So you talk through the phone, but turn off the volume on whatever else you're listening on.
Yeah.
So who are my callers tonight?
Well, the other one, the 513, is Steve Russo's in Northern Kentucky with the
Steve, how are you? Lovely to hear from you.
Good.
And who's my other caller? One second.
Young from Kansas, and I called in because I couldn't listen on my iPad. It kept shutting off, so I called in so I could listen.
Oh,
Amy, how are? Wait a minute. It's Kim.
Yeah.
Is it Kim?
Yes, Kim from Kansas. Kim, yes.
I'm sorry. We're having some real technical problems tonight, folks. I don't know if it's because the storm is causing some internet situations, but we're having a little bit. I'm so glad you're both here. And by the way, I'm going to introduce you two to each other. Kimberly, fabulous nurse, one of the most gifted botanists of our century, and the last century indeed too. She can grow the most beautiful flowers in a mixture of lint, dust bunnies, and ink that you have ever seen.
Cool.
Go to her page, Kimberly Young's page, and
Kimberly
marvel
Young,
and tell me that you have not died and gone to the original Garden of Eden. You won't believe the things that she grows and the wonder. And by the way, she left her old home a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, and she managed to start all over again in Kansas, growing a whole new world of the most beautiful things. For those of you that have seen The Wizard of Oz and have seen the hatchet job that movie does on the state of Kansas, the fact that Kansas is portrayed as a black and white dust bowl, but go to Kimberly's page and see that it, in fact, is the most fertile forest and jungle, tropical thing. It's breathtaking. And Steve, you are a garden wannabe, and you've got,
yes,
you know, you're doing very well where you're doing. So Kimberly, Stephen Russo's is bringing his own amount of gardening and everything to Northern Kentucky, almost Cincinnati. His town is, I believe, Covington, but we call it almost Cincinnati. He's got a lovely cat, too.
So if
you want to write Stephen, by the way, everybody, it's Stephen Russo's almost Cincinnati, Kentucky, and then there's a zip code for that. Stephen and Kimberly, you take it away. Talk to each other. Mommy's going to sit down and have a nice coffee and a piece of whiskey. Go ahead and talk to each other.
Kimberly, lovely to meet you. I will be consulting you because I am sort of a garden neophyte. My late partner, who hasn't been around since 2001, you know, made this wonderful garden around my house. And I try and plant some things, and some of them do well. More often than not, I kill them, and I'm just sort of left awash with – I'm really not good with I'm ashamed to admit, with, you know, planting and dirt. I just don't like dirt for some reason, which was odd considering what a slob I am. But I could use some remedial help now and then, so I may look you up.
Absolutely. Please do.
Well,
I think we might be friends on Facebook, actually.
We may. Your name sounds familiar. I will look you up.
We might be.
Okay. Cool. But Mommy, the only reason I wanted to call briefly was about your Facebook jail. And yes, the term white trash, for reasons unbeknownst to me and to anyone, it's like the top number one verboten of verbotens. If you utter that in any way, shape, or form, banned. I even once shared like a picture from someone else's. Actually, I shared a picture from someone else's post, and they used the word. And when I did that, just sharing it, I didn't get in jail. But another time, I actually shared the same picture, but I wrote that myself. It was like, oh, Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest looking at Donald Trump, and there was some remark about white trash. And I, instead of just sharing their post, I wrote it myself. Well, I didn't get banned, but they said this is a warning. And that little warning note, I don't know if it stays there for a month or whatever, is still on the bottom of my Facebook. I don't know how long it will take to disappear. But how the other person posted it without getting banned, without getting it taken down, is beyond me. But beyond that, swear words are fine. As you may have noticed from some of my posts where I get particularly vituperative, typically at, you know, Trumpites or their ilk, I use all manner of every swear word imaginable, and none of them. You can insult people in the most vicious, four-letter, obscene way, and they do nothing. That's considered freedom of expression. But you utter white trash, and you're in jail. And if anyone can explain that, I still have not heard it. So,
well, I just want to interject here. First of all, yes, I've noticed that. I've noticed that also the algorithms or the logarithms or the whatever rhythms with Facebook seem mercurial. They seem whimsical.
Yep.
It is very strange that open obscenity, and even mm-hmm. words that are descriptive and sexist about anatomy.
Oh, yeah.
Sexual. We can't say it on the air right now because we can, but the problem is then Gwendolyn has to announce that on Blog Talk Radio we have to, you know, put a warning up and everything. So, but you know what words I'm thinking of that are mm-hmm. anatomically and, you know, descriptive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Apparently you can say those words on your posts on Facebook and perhaps not be nailed on it. However, there's something that happens on occasion with grammar. I guess you could use that word but not say Melania Trump is a such and such.
I call Donald Trump and people like him every four-letter obscene word in the book and never gotten the slightest note from Facebook. So it is weird.
Well,
you're right. It's hard to understand what they're doing, actually.
Okay. Well, the whole thing is that it is interesting that they have tagged white trash. And by the way,
it is.
I hyphenated it so that it was connected. But if you do not hyphenate it, apparently you might be safe.
Oh, so
that's
algorithm
an interesting thing.
Catch
the other
it. That's
thing
a nice
is,
tip.
The other thing is that if you say WH asterisk
right.
TE hyphen trash or something, it might pass through. Anyway, I want to get to Kimberly.
Something. Yep. Okay. Well,
I
that's
get to Kimberly.
All. I just wanted to mention those odd little factoids. Oh, and congratulations and best of luck on your recent move, on your upcoming move. I am tempted to ask, but I know not to because I was listening. So I await with bated breath news on your ultimate destination.
Stephen, stay on the line if you'd like.
Okay.
Kimberly.
Sure.
I just want to point out to everyone that when you go to Kimberly's page and you see Kimberly's face, that beautiful blonde face with those ridiculous China blue eyes, they are the blue version of Elizabeth Taylor's violet eyes. There is no green in those eyes. Her blue eyes are literally the water of the Caribbean. They're the eyes of an angel. So I know for a fact, Kimberly, that with that halo that's always over your beautiful hair, you've never been in Facebook jail, or have you?
Well, the funny thing is, I wasn't in jail, but I had one of James Picard's drawing that he sent me. Just a second.
I love James Picard. He's a great friend of mine.
I introduced you, I said, you have to follow him. You have to follow him. You love him. Anyway, he sent me a pencil drawing of a woman, a bust in the face with a mastectomy scar.
Yes. Yes.
And he sent that to me a few years ago, and I posted it, and it was so beautiful, and it was just, I was so overwhelmed by his kindness to send that to me. It got taken down. I was so angry. And lots of people really back.
Kimberly, I remember that anecdote. I remember that story.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you,
mm-hmm.
if you can remember, I want you to tell us what Facebook's message was to you. Do you remember?
The Facebook, something about the Facebook community, something inappropriate for the Facebook community. The nudity. I think it was nudity or something.
They're really
whatever.
They're really weird about nudity or body parts. They have obviously, again, they seem to have algorithms that, you know, think they're detecting it, and sometimes they're notorious for thinking they detected nudity when it's nothing of the kind, and people getting banned
first of all,
over it.
Stephen, you're only partly right. The algorithms are detecting language because a computer can do that. Computers are not able quite yet, although they will be able to. They're not able to discern visual like a mastectomy.
Actually,
and make
actually
a
Sybil, as
but
a computer
they,
software engineer, the, I will let you know that they do. They do and can detect imagery. If you post just a picture and it's a nude, Facebook will tell you about it. And they will come. They do have artificial intelligence algorithms now that can pick out. But that's the problem: is they're just kind of guessing. They're pattern matching. So sometimes things that aren't nudes, their program thinks are. So it's not very good at it. But they try, and people can get banned over it, which is the unfair part. So they do use computer algorithms to look at the pictures, not just the words. And that's why it's
terrible because it makes often makes mistakes.
What I was going to say was I was going to bring out, though, that this particular thing that Kim did when she posted James Picard's drawing was before that computer sophistication existed. And what they did not have a computer. They had a panel of six Presbyterian ladies from Butt Poke, Iowa, who were looking through all of the posted millions and millions of posts daily, and they came in shifts. They had like several shifts of nice Iowa Presbyterian ladies who would sit there with their pince-nezes and look through things at 3 a.m. looking for breasts or penises, etc. And
so heaven forbid you'd be growing a plot of red hot poker flowers. You know, you could get banned for life for posting a picture of those.
Well,
I guess.
Actually, what happened for me was that I posted a picture of Duchamp's famous nude descending a staircase, which I modeled for because I was dating Marcel Duchamp, and I was detected by those Presbyterian ladies because even as a Cubist naked lady, they said, no, no, no. The sight of my breasts in cubes was considered to be obscene and inappropriate for younger viewers. Anyway, back to Kimberly. They not only, if I remember the story correctly, Kimberly, they not only said that it was nudity, but that on some level, I'm sure I'm right on this, on some level, they felt that it was promoting violence. Do you remember that?
I can't remember. No, but I'm looking for it. I'm trying to find it, but I can't find it.
I remember, and if it wasn't your picture, then it was either James Picard showing it, or it was a photograph of a woman who had had a mastectomy, and it was like a cancer month, you know, the pink ribbon month. I think it's February is the month for cancer, breast cancer. And that someone posted that with a very, very somber and uplifting. It was somber, sober, and very uplifting message about breast cancer awareness, blah, blah, blah. And they down because it espoused violence. That they were reported, and that it was apparently that it was espousing violence, and it was like, oh my God.
The terrible things about these miscues is the most, you know, innocent sort of things, either the computer algorithms or the artificial intelligence vision or the panel of Presbyterian ladies from Butt Poke, Iowa, decide must not be allowed. While at the same time, they allow just an insanely, literally obscene degree of fact, you know, fact distortion and political, you know, machination and abuse on people on an emotional level. You know, they allow all that, but you dare post a famous artwork, you know, of mummy descending the staircase or a red hot poker flower, and bang, you're in Facebook jail. So I don't know where they're coming from, but they're trying to. It's a CYA thing, I think. It's covering their own ass. They imagine.
Well,
exactly.
I couldn't resist asking Kim
caller.
Though.
You
okay.
Do have another
all right. Well, up to you, Gwendolyn. Yes, Kim.
Hmm?
I just have one thing I want to say, and then I would just want to listen because I cannot listen on my iPad. So I found the post, and I'd forgotten what he said, but with the pencil drawing I posted, I did find it because I must have put it back. I said, thank you so much for your thoughtfulness. You touched my heart today. And in the card he sent, it said, everybody, two words, is beautiful. Beauty starts on the inside and moves outward. Be kind to yourselves and one another, James Picard.
Kimberly, one note about listening on your iPad, but just for everyone else, I've discovered on my Android phone, if I click Mummy's link to the Blog Talk Radio page, it won't play inside. See, the Facebook thing has its own browser, and that doesn't like to play whatever audio format it is. So I have to click that and tell it to open in Chrome, a separate browser that's not Facebook, a generic browser.
Thank you.
It will play in there,
you.
So you might try that.
Okay,
wait a minute. I didn't know that. So you're saying that when people find my – when I post it on Facebook and it's on all my pages – they can't click on that and just immediately hear it. They have
that
to go.
May not,
to...
That's probably not true universally, because
no,
these things are notoriously specific to device, to operating system, et cetera.
Oh, okay.
But on the
Thank
way
you.
On the Android operating system, and this is a Samsung Galaxy phone, and it may be different on different phones, but it's probably common to Androids. And inside the Facebook app, if you're on a computer or in a general web browser, it's fine. But if you're inside the Facebook app on Android, the link will open, but the play button does nothing. You have to tell it to open it in the Chrome browser outside the Facebook app. Who knows where the wires are getting crossed? But I do know that happens every time, and it always
happens. Listeners, in the time we have, because we're running through our time quickly, I just want to say to listeners, many of you have complained in the past that the show would not play. I've had so many people, not most of our listeners, but some of our listeners have said, I don't know what happened. I clicked on the link and I couldn't get through, and I had no idea what that was. And
that
Stephen
may explain it, because Android is very common. Yep.
Thank you. That's
wonderful. Okay, well, that's it. I'll let you go and get to your other callers. And nice, lovely meeting you, Kimberly. I will look you up and ask for some advice with my poor plans if I need it. Thank you so much.
Thank
Sounds
you, Stephen.
Good night.
Good night.
Kimberly. Kimberly, you've got a new I think I've introduced you before. That's why you're friends on Facebook. But you've got a new follower for your wonderful advice.
Indeed.
And Kimberly,
indeed.
I'm going to have news for you when I move, because I'm going to actually have a deck, not quite as big as my Fire Island deck, but definitely a deck, and I will be doing potted plants there, and we'll be talking about that too.
Nice.
Yes, yes, yes.
So who's my new caller?
Well, they kind of dropped away, but that's okay. They'll come back again someday.
Okay. While we're on the line, I just want to say, because we have 14 minutes left, I want to say that Pamela, who's been a caller several times, did a wonderful series on the Sybil Brunson Lollipop Guild page.
Yes,
and
did.
I do encourage all of you listeners, if you haven't joined the Sybil Brunson Lollipop Guild page, please do. It's free of charge, and it is full of joy. That's all it is. There's no controversy. There's no politics. There's no religion. There's no stress or strain. It's all about joy, happiness, fun, comedy. It's music, movies. And Pamela vowed with my challenge to post the Fat Ladies, the famous two Fat Ladies, that British show that was a cooking show, which was marvelous and so campy. And Pamela posted a recipe every week for this past month, and she has been posting recipes to show that their food was actually quite wonderful. And you know, British food always gets razzed for being terrible, for the recipes like Bubble and Squeak and things like this, you know, but indeed their recipes were quite lovely. And so Pamela was posting them on the page, and you've got to go there and see. We do Fridays as Fabulous Food Fridays, so that we do everything on Fridays, but Fabulous Food, we encourage people to post recipes. So if you feel like going and seeing that, go to Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild. It's one of Mommy's several pages on Facebook. I want to remind you that our show is live every Monday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. I want to say a special hello to our friends in Australia and our friends in Germany and in Britain. We have listeners all around the world right now who are listen to this live. Isn't that amazing? We're broadcasting live right now, and we're 8 o'clock at night, but in Australia, it may be 8 o'clock in the morning or something. So it's fascinating that people are listening to it, and it's just so exciting that it really is, as Disney said, a small world after all. And I wanted to remind you that we're all always sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you. We have had some listeners decide that they would like to help sponsor our show, and you can contact Gwendolyn, who's our producer, and you can make a contribution, and you can either be listed as one of our sponsors, or you can do it anonymously. But we are always open to contributions from people like you that keep us on the air. thank you. It's just like,
you
just
have,
like
you
I
have,
love doing that PBS. I've always wanted to do that. By listeners like you. Thank you. So
and
what was that,
have
Gwendolyn?
A listener, you have a listener calling back.
Oh, great.
I'll open the mic for him. 716 area code. You're on air.
Hello there.
Yes, it's me.
Is that Pamela?
It is.
Pamela, I just acknowledged you and thanked you on the air. Thank you for doing the two fat ladies marathon for me.
And I proved that they did not poison anybody.
Yes. One thing I wanted to suggest to you, if you called in this week, in the short time we have left, I wanted to suggest that you do the Julie and Julia challenge and then you take the two fat ladies cookbook and cook all their recipes in 1 year. I dare say that they didn't have 3,000 recipes like Julia Child did and
no,
that Julie
no.
did. But it would be interesting if you did a marathon of the fat lady's recipes and serve them to loved ones and friends and just
make
maybe,
sure they don't
die. You know something? What maybe I will do is in my new home, and I'm not going to reveal anything more than I did earlier, but I will reveal that I have a kitchen. my new kitchen is the size of my current living room. So for those of you that have enjoyed Mummy's Pullman kitchen with the window in my kitchen right now is larger than my kitchen. You all marvel that when I'm standing at the stove or washing my dishes that it's as if I'm like in an aquarium. The window beside me is literally like it's almost a floor to ceiling window. So it's a wonderful thing. And people come by. I'm on the third floor here. People stand down on the sidewalk and point up and wave to me and look at me and hold up signs saying, hello, Mummy, how are you? And are you making your meatballs or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's very sweet. They even do it in blizzards. They come by in blizzards and they do things like in the snow. They lie down in the snow and make snow angels and then write bad words under them. they write, you know, whatever. And they point arrows to the angel's anatomy and then point at me and everything and then run off before I can shoot at them. Anyway, the bottom line is this, that my new kitchen is going to be the size of my current living room. Okay, it's huge. And perhaps I will know what to do, dear. I'm Sybil Brunson. you think I'm some chooch? I know what to do. But what I think I might do is maybe I'll do the Fat Lady's Cookbook cover to cover in a certain amount of time in my new kitchen, and that'll be my challenge. A down market,
and
Julie and Julia.
I would even fly up to try it.
Great, great. Where do you live, Pamela?
I live in Florida as well. I live in Central Florida.
So you weren't affected at all by the storm, really, per se?
Not per se. I mean, we got a little bit of rain and wind would kick up and then it would die down and then kick up again. I mean, it was like a normal Florida afternoon here. So that's what it was. We didn't get the bands that they said that we were going to get because it moved too far east.
Pamela, two things. First of all, and I don't want to use up all our time on this, but how on earth do you live in Central Florida? I can't imagine what it's like to live in Central Florida. It's like to live in Florida to me is to live on one coast or the other and be near some air. Everyone I've ever known who's lived in Central Florida has said that it's intolerably hot, humid, and
it is.
Alligator and red.
It is.
Oh, well, you're a brave soul.
I mean, I had to, you know, move here because of my job. So I didn't have a choice of where I had to live.
Exactly.
So when I was in New York, they told me we have an opening in Florida you can go to, or we're closing this office up here and we'll give you your severance package. So
they transferred you so that you could go down to Florida and wrestle alligators
correct.
As opposed to doing it here in New York City.
But in Central Florida, Mummy, the cast members of Disney World, it's a huge community and many
huge.
Big,
is that who you live? Is
community.
That who you work for, Pamela?
No,
Disney?
I do not work for Disney. No,
huh.
No, I'm a senior operations vice president for a bank.
Oh my goodness. Here I've been making fun of bankers and everything. Well, I hope you won't destroy Mummy's credit. I mean, Mummy's credit is already through the sub-basement, but I mean, I hope that you won't plunge it into Middle Earth because Mummy's credit, I've got to have some money right now to move. Speaking of which, one other thing. We've got only a few seconds left. Have you ever been in Facebook jail, Pamela?
I have not. And I've used every kind of lingo known to man and woman. And I have never been in Facebook jail ever. I think Facebook jail is afraid of me.
Well, I thought that they were afraid of me too. And there were rumors that I had so many friends and followers and fans among the inner circle at Google and Facebook and everything that I was immune. That there were actually rumors going around that there were people in there who not only loved Sybil Brunson, but then who I knew personally, that they were keeping me from ever being thrown in jail, no matter how vile and vitriolic I was. And so when it happened with the word white trash, it was like, what? It's like being put in Facebook jail for the word cantaloupe. It was like, wait a minute, are you kidding? I use terms like three-toothed hillbillies. I use Appalachia, you know, thug gang. I use all sorts of descriptives. I don't use obscenities without, you know, using punctuation marks to keep myself, you know, so that an asterisk or a caret or whatever.
Right.
I couldn't believe that white-trash had gotten me arrested and jailed. I was stunned. Anyway, we're running low on time. Pamela, I'm so glad you called. I'm so glad I got to thank you for your two fat ladies marathon. You were an angel, and we will talk more about my own journey in my new kitchen when I reveal more. So we'll maybe see you next week again on the show.
Okay.
All right. You have a good week, dear. Stay healthy down in Florida.
You too.
By the way, you're in my prayers. I'm extremely concerned about your fellow Floridians being careless down there. I just don't know what to think. I just don't know what to think.
It's strange that I can go to the grocery store and not feel safe. However, I did recently go to Disney World, okay?
Oh, wow.
I felt safer there than I did in the grocery store.
We don't have time to address this because we're running out of time, but this is shocking. There are people not wearing masks in the most bizarre places, and I don't know. And the spiking death rates and infection rates don't seem to register with them. I can't, in the 2 minutes we have left, I can't address that level of moronic behavior now, but we'll talk about it later.
Right.
You're in my prayers.
Okay.
You're in Gwendolyn's in my prayers and best wishes, as are you, Gwendolyn, also down in Florida at Port St. Lucie.
Yeah.
So, all right, Pamela, we'll talk to you next week. We love you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
In the final moments, I want to say that you've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk. I am Sybil Brunson. My cohort and producer and muse is Gwendolyn Holdenberry. She's on the other line right now. And we are brought to you every week by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do go to their website and check out their products. They are our sponsors. They keep us afloat. And also, we're kept afloat by listeners like you. Thank you. Feel free if you'd like to advertise or donate to our broadcast. Just contact Gwendolyn on the DaughtersOfIsis.com Facebook page there. You can find us on SybilSays.com and SybilBrunson.com. And again, on the Sybil Lollipop Guild page on Facebook. Join us on any one of those pages. And you can also find me on Instagram and Twitter. Please come and see us there and see us every Monday night. There's our gong. We're just about out of time. Yep, that's our warning. Our wonderful stage manager lets me know. Gwendolyn, I love you. I will see you next week. I'm glad that Isais or Asio Asi or whatever he is didn't do more damage. I'm so glad.
Thank you, baby. I love you too.
Gwendolyn, I couldn't love you more. You have brought such a magical experience to all of us with this show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I will sign off now and see all of you next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bob is